Alrighty, good to be back in church.
Yes, amen.
For me, it's a little strange, but rather be where you're at. But let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, we just thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for rising us up, Father, another day of your mercy and your grace, Father, that's allotted to us, Father. We ask that you'd help us to not allow the enemy to distract us from the mercy and the grace that's renewed every morning, Father. Lord God, to know that your love and your mercy is repetitious, Father. I ask that you'd help us to repent with a sincere heart, Father. I ask that you'd help us to draw closer to you, Father. We know that time is drawing nigh and the enemy is at hand, and he realizes, Father, that, Lord, that he wants to consume as much as he can, Father. So we ask that you'd help us to realize that, Father, and to bring us to more of your revelation, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Again, I started this last week, and I have to use this. Okay. let me find a little pointer. Okay. So I started this last week, and I was kind of just trying to introduce again, trying to get used to being back up here. Brother Eddie assured me only 4 weeks. Well, first it was 1 week. Now it's 4 weeks, and just Tuesday at the men's meeting, it was now 8 weeks. So he's reeling me in. So, and I think Brother Andrew said, "What's 52 weeks?" But I don't know about that. So, but we'll start off one at a time, and go from there. But my, like I said last week, or the week before that, I was trying to get into distractions, you know, the massive distraction. And we'll just put the first slide up. and Lord started dealing with my heart on distractions and how easy. And one thing I want to probably, the main thing that I want to bring out is there is a lot of distractions, and the enemy realizes that if he can allow just a little detour in your life to distract you from the main part, Amen. He's going to do it. And but to me, I'll see more of the distraction as God's tool, because and only because that he uses that distraction. Let's go ahead and read a scripture, because you guys are going to be standing for a while if I don't. Let's go to, and then I'll get back to what I was trying to point out. let's see. You have to forgive me. I just, like I said, I'm trying to get everything here. All right, let's start off at, I think it was 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7:35. We read that last time, but we're reading it again. I just want to probably go into more of the scripture reading and more of the PowerPoints that I have. Don't have that many right now, but like I said, this could be, you know, entering a more perspective in each category, you know, like entertainment, personal life, you know, family, so whatever. But but let's start off in 1 Corinthians 7:35. It says, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is commonly, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." You can be seated. And like I was saying, to me, I guess just doing a lot of reading and research, and I realized that the distraction, it is a distraction, and the enemy knows that he can use that to, you know, to kind of detour or hinder what God is trying to do. But I see it more as a tool for God, in a way that you can see what's in your heart that's hindering you coming closer to God. Okay, that I believe that God can use Satan and say, you know, put something in front of their eyes and see how they react. You know, see if it catches their attention. Because if it does, then there's something there that is still hindering you from your walk with God. So I'll try to see a distraction more as a tool to say, okay, I need to work on this in this area because this is what's hindering me. And you know, we look at the rich young ruler, and we see that God came up to him and or Jesus came up to him and he was talking to him, and he said, you know, Master, what must I do to come to heaven or to go to heaven? And he says, well, follow the commandments. And he says, I've done those. I've done them since a child. I've done all these things. Mm-hmm. But see, God understood, or he had just that little part of recognizing what was more in his life or what was in his heart. Because he said, well, get rid of what you have, or sell what you have and give it to the poor. Because he knew that although you were doing all the things of the message or the Bible, all these things that were, you still, your heart wasn't in place. There was still something hindering it. And to me, it's a tool that we can use more, not to condemn you or to say you're wrong or to say, or to give you a defeated life, but to say, Lord, this is where I need help. If I'm distracted by something that's hindering my walk with you, then that's where I need help. And I believe Lord can use those things that Satan uses to distract you as a tool to work on those things, to work on, to have no hindrance between you and God. Amen. And to me, that's, you know, I don't want to be out here and bash you and say, you know, these things that we do are wrong. And I'm here with you. If I can be transparent, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be like, you know, hammering you guys. And because I'm with you, I can, you know, I'm right along with you. These things we battle every day. And that's what I want to, help you. And to show you that these things that are hindering are to help us, are to show us, to lead us closer to God. And that's where Satan is at now. He knows that the end time, and even people in the world realize that the end time is coming. Why? Because they look around and it's just that anointing. Everybody knows, man, there's something going wrong, or there's something going on, or something's happening, or something's going to happen. And that weary and that, you know, that bleeds into the people, and it becomes chaos. And God realizes that with chaos, he can't move in the hearts of the people, because their heart is, you know, just so into worry and vexed. And he realizes that I need a clear heart, a pure heart, right, to work through. And so that's kind of where I want to lead to. I was trying to work on a video just on how scientists have worked with the mind and have analyzed it and realized that just in the subconscious level, how that can affect your life. And they use it for their advantage. And in the entertainment world, and I heard this one video, and it was, to me, it was, you know, if I can say that the prophet of this time had already told us that, you know, about TV, and you know, and but I had this I saw this one video where this one CIA was talking to his friend, and he was like, you know, I can't really tell you what I do and all this, but I can tell you this. Do not watch TV. And he's like, because there are things there that you do not see, that there are infiltrating. And I believe that, because I believe the more you see things, the more it becomes common. Yeah. And yeah, the more it becomes common, then the more you write it off. But it's wrong. Exactly. You know, and, you know, just like, you know, I was telling, reading these things that, you know, I think I may read a few of them again, but just the mental warfare. And we hear, we know it because we read the message, or we ought to, but that the battle is in the mind now. In the end time, the battle is going to be in the mind, and they realize that, and the enemy knows that's where, you know, if he can control you through your mental faculties or your mental mind, he can, you know, he's got a hold of you, because he can't necessarily control you without you being willing. Okay, so so I may I'm gonna go through and let's go through to the next part, and then the ultimate goal is for destruction, and that's and I believe, you know, from the beginning, I said last time, from the beginning, Satan has distracted God's weaving, but I believe it's for a purpose. It's not like he got one out on God and, you know, God didn't see it coming. He realized that. But like I said, see that as God's tool, as Satan, a tool for God to, you know, to allow things to happen, you know. And, you know, I believe Jonah, you know, he was in a distracted mind, but yet the outcome was great. You know, he was, you know, in his, you know, in his mind, he was like, man, I can't do that. You know, I'm not schooled. I'm not this and that. But, you know, that distraction led them to throw him off. Of course, you know the story, you know, but it worked out for God's greater good. But it helped Jonah realize that, you know, what he had, he didn't need, because God was going to supply. Okay. And so many times we allow this distractions to overtake us and to, overwhelm us, but you know, that's where we need to again look at the distractions as a more of a tool that God can use to help you to see where you're hindered at. Okay, so let's go to the we read this one, and then 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I don't know. Are you guys able to put on any scriptures on the? You can? Okay. I'm trying to find my place here. 2 Corinthians. And, I kind of wanted to read this out of the New Living Translation. Let's see. Okay. I'm just going to read out of this. And Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And, you know, and let's see. I got to see where I'm at, because I've got to try to keep this all together. Okay, we can go to the next one. Distractions. We're going to see the the, and this is a few of the definition for distraction, and the first one is extreme agitation of the mind or emotion, and that's where, you know, that's probably what I want to focus in right now, is just, you know, just the mind battle that Satan is putting us through and wants us to fall into. And then the next one is a diversion of attention, or a diversion to recreate. A thing, number three, is a thing or something that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. And then the fourth one is a condition or state of mind in which the attention is diverted from the original focus. or interest. And I think I've got a little scripture or from a message that I've been listening to. It's okay if I put Brother Brandon in. But it's a scripture. I think it's in 63. It's called Victory Day, and it was a pretty amazing sermon because it talked about a lot of things that how the enemy works, and so many times as men, we want to put our own emphasis on things. We want to, we want to put our thoughts in it. You know, it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be this way, and Brother Branham really opens it up, and he actually takes a whole an outlook, and I always enjoyed that about how he ministered. He always ministered from his heart, and I don't understand how people can take the message and really turn it around, because I'll tell you what, he never pointed at himself. You always saw him pointing back to Christ. And so many times that he, as he ministered, he could have taken advantage of people. He had plenty of time to do, but that wasn't his heart. You know, he was always pointing you to Christ. And to me, that Victory Day, I think it was 63, April 21st, I think, but it's further down on this PowerPoint. Well, I'm just going to read a little part of it. But to me, I believe that the tactic of the enemy is to take the message and put your, to put the messenger in play, to direct your life from the message and put it on the messenger. So many times, and I believe as human beings, we all fall to that point sometimes. We want to be able to grab something. We want to be able to put our hand on something and say, okay, this is it. Because we being human beings, even like my wife, it's always good to touch her and, know she's there. But, and as human beings, we always want to put our hand on God, and we need God on skin, and we see the life that Brother Branham lived, and so what he did, and we hold him up, and we don't hold him up, but we allow, and then it gets turned around, and we begin to move our heart from the message and put it on the messenger. But I don't believe that's the greater intention, is to really put our heart in the message. And if we did, it would be Christ living in us. We would see a difference in our lives and in one another. I wanted to read a couple of things to you. Let's go to the different. I think this is it. And I'm just going to read this real quick. I read them last time, but I did find out there's more than what I've read last time. In the mental, this is through, I think, the New International Standard Medical and Health. I'm just going to read what I have here, and there's more. And I'll tell you how many more after I read these to you. But I'm just going to give you some disorders that Satan has allowed the people to fall into in the mental illnesses. But I'll start off with anxiety disorder. And when I read these disorders, in that paragraph, I realize that in that paragraph, there's more into this anxiety disorder. Some of them I'll pick up and some of them not. But the main part is anxiety disorder. And then they have panic disorder, agoraphobia. I would read the description on that, but I want to keep trying to move on this. Specific phobia, social phobia, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, acute stress disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, substance-induced anxiety disorder, mood disorder, depressive disorder, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and other psychotic disorder, schizophrenia, psychotic disorder, personality disorder, dissociative disorder, fictitious disorder, somatoform disorder. And some of these I may not be pronouncing, so I'm not schooled that way. So sexual gender identity disorder. I mean, can we see that? We see that these days rampant. And then the last one is other disorders, and there's a lot more. But I started looking in this, and there's actually 300 and something disorders. And tell me that's not the enemy's tactics, you know, to get you into a place where, you know, your mind begins to control you and really doesn't give you a peace or a comfort, or, you know, and really takes you away from the trueness of God, and, you know, and so many things in our lives that, you know, we worry about, which we shouldn't worry, you know. But how can you tell someone don't worry when, you know, everything is going on chaotic, you know, and really need to grasp. But let's move through these real quick because I'm not going to have enough time. And I only put these up because so many times we think of food being a distraction. It is, because those of us like to eat. Now, I put pizza up here first because we're like, man, everybody likes pizza. Okay, I don't do pizza. How about a salad? How about a steak? But, you know, we think of these being distractions. They are, but I think our main goal is distraction of what God is trying to do in our lives. And I believe, you know, to take the message or take the word and to have it to no effect, you know. And we see these things, and, you know, like I said, to me, these are little things, but they can be distracting. I was going to do something else there, but here is the greatest distraction. This is where it all began, was Lucifer in the beginning. You know, it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. Is this thing working? Okay. Shining star, son of the morning, you have been thrown down to the earth, who destroyed the nations of the world, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. You guys are stars. Remember, I will preside on the mountain of the gods, far away in the north, will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. And let's see what I got. That's kind of little, but, and I'm running out of time. This is if you get a chance, do read listen to this sermon. It's called Victory Day, April 21st, 63. And take your time. And really, if you get distracted, listen to it again. Because trust me, the enemy will distract you from listening. And, you know, we tend to get distracted. I've probably listened to this sermon probably about four times, and I've had to rewind it because I get distracted really easily. But, and then next week we'll read the other one, the other part, and then I've got here the problem and the cure, and we'll go through that. And I've got more to put up. So, like I said, I want to be a help. I'm with you, and I want, you know. You know, so many times we get, you know, beat down, but we're all in this together. We're brothers and sisters. We're to help one another in these times. So we'll continue this next week, and we'll see if the 8 weeks move further. But let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, we just thank you for this time, Father. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Father. Help us to recognize in our lives, Father, the distractions that the enemy is causing. Father, we want to serve you, fully, Father, and we want to serve you with our whole heart, Father. We realize that with these little distractions in our lives that we cannot serve you in the manner that you would like us to, Father. And that is our greatest desire, is to, Lord, to do what you would want us to do, Father, to do your will, Father, we pray. Help us, Lord, we pray. In the remainder of this service, Father, be with the worship, be with our pastor, Father, Lord, to bring the message of this day, Father, we love you, Lord, and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I guess we'll return back.